this is week three of Rosh Hashayachid. We have dealt with the overall basic definition. We dealt with the question of whether it's walls or whether it's just separation from the space around it. We dealt with the question of the status of an area that has three walls, Midah Oraisa, and the three different views on that, potentially two different views depending on how you view the relationship between the Rambam and the Ramah. And then we talked about the area of the Rosh Hashayachid. Is it 4x4? Is it 5.657 by 5.657? You saw Rabbi Zirin set out also as a separate piece of this, the question of whether it's 4x4, whether it's not 4x4, whether it's 4 when it comes to transporting 4 amos, or whether it's 5.657 when it's transporting there, and the question of at what point one would be liable, what's the lechatchila, what's the bidiyavet. And we dealt with the question of whether the width of the walls count towards the 4x4 or not, with the general tendency being to think, I think, despite the Chazon Ish starting with the Taz, that no, we don't count the width of the walls unless we're talking about something where you actually do use the top, that being a unique case. So what I'm going to do today, God willing, is talk about Chorei Rosh Hashayachid and the question of whether there is a maximum size for a Rosh Hashayachid. And then we'll have to start the newsman in Choref with the question of Hukaf Ladira and defining Hukaf Ladira, which is, of course, a very practical issue, before we go on to Carmelis Mekom Patur, and as we discussed yesterday, Chazara. Okay. So, Rosh Hashayachid. So we start out with three cases, two of which we already looked at the very end of the last shiur. If you're using the Mar Makomos that I sent out last night, so then you're looking at first source Memches. That was the case of the house that was 9 tefach high inside. The roof makes it 10, so we said that means the inside is a karmelis, the top is a Rosh Hashayachid. But we said if he digs a 4x4 space in the house to be deep enough such that there will be 10 tefach from its floor to the roof, then the whole inside of the house will become a Rosh Hashayachid, the principle of Chokik and Lahashlim, and this is brought in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's one case that we call Chorei Rosh Hashayachid. And it seems the definition of Chor, of it being a whole, is that what we think of as the whole, the part you excavated, is actually the Rosh Hashayachid. And everything else is a hole in the sense that it is like a hole in the wall of that Rosh Hashayachid. Imagine that, that area that's 10 tefach high is the Rosh Hashayachid, and that around it you have walls. And that whole rest of the house is a hole in that wall. That's the way that we are looking at it. The obvious case of Chorei Rosh Hashayachid, well, obvious to everybody but Chazon Ish, we'll see that in a moment. But the obvious case is the case in which you actually have a wall. There is a wall that we can see, feel, and touch in the wall of a Rosh Hashayachid, which opens only internally into the Rosh Hashayachid. It does not run straight through into the Rosh Hasharabim. And we saw last time the Rambam in Source Memtes to say, yeah, that's considered to be part of the Rosh Hashayachid. If it also opens into the space outside, the Rosh Hasharabim outside, that's a different story. So the Avodah HaKodesh says that then if it's higher than 10 tefach, and therefore that means on the other side it's a Makom Patur, and it's 4x4, then it'll be a Rosh Hashayachid. If it's less than 4x4, it'll be a Makom Patur, assuming it's more than 3 tefach above the ground and doesn't become part of the ground space. But we already said we're higher than 10 tefach. And then he also talked about if it's open on top and the idea that's all out of Rakia. And I bring you here the Chazon Ish, and again, Rabbi Zirin, thank you for pointing this out, in Source Nun, where he gives you a different definition of what's going on in this case of the Chor. He says, Hai Chor, I assume this is the one you saw. The Hai Chor, Hai Nusha, Kosel, Rachav, Mi Lamata, Vieshle, Knisa, Lamala. It should probably be low. That's probably a function of my OCR. Different OCs. OCR. The Hai Nusha, Kosel, Rachav, Mi Lamata, Vieshle, Knisa, Lamala. Chor here means that the wall is wider below, and then has some kind of entry above, entry meaning that the wall narrows above. And it's along the length of the wall where the wall abuts the public domain. So in other words, if this bottle, imagine if this bottle, instead of being on both sides of, you know, because we don't care about what's going on. This other side is Rishus HaYochid here. Here's my wall, and here's my Rishus HaRabim. And you have an incline here, a slight incline at the top, all along the length of the wall. Right? You all got that on the audio. The Avochoru Knisa Shiesham Defunav. I mean, his argument is a reasonable argument. The rest of this line is reasonable.
I assume it's he's comparing it to Rashi's Kor versus HaRabim, the Zabbis versus HaRabim.
Yeah.
Right, which is the this thing.
Right. I mean, he says, Choru Knisa Shiesh Lahen Defanos, if it has walls surrounding it, then Hein Rishus HaYachid Min HaTorah V'Karmel Is Mid Rabbanan. So then what's there to talk about? It's a Rishus HaYachid. It has walls surrounding it. If it's just a hole, the way we usually think of a hole, so it has, you know, walls there. In other words, if you took this, if this bottle was your wall, and you punched a hole into the side, so it would have a hole behind it that's so same. It would have a hole on. It would have a wall. I'm sorry, a wall that's so same. You have a wall on either side, and you're finished. And it's obviously it was just like, what's your conversation? So he says it has to be that there are no walls. That not that there are no walls, but that there aren't three walls. It's a very interesting point that he makes, but you sort of left with your mouth hanging open because that's not what we would have thought at all. And then you have the third case, which is identified as Chori Rishus HaYachid. Yeah.
I just like quickly note here. I mean, Rav Asher Weiss in his analysis of it, and Rishonim points out there are basically two conceptions of Chor. That either it's Rishus HaYachid because it's Batel Legabe Rishus HaYachid, or because it has walls, right? I mean, he says the Machlokes Tosfos in the Rashba,
but if he's going to say that it has walls, that's going to change.
Meaning, why you understand that it's Rishus, and then he said that depends on whether you think.
Everybody seems to be saying it is Rishus HaYachid because it bleeds from Rishus HaYachid.
Yeah, so he points out that it seems to Machlokes Tosfos and Rashba whether they think that the relevant part of walls in general is the inner part, the outer part. And if you think it's the inner part,
right,
then the reason you would think a chor is Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaYachid is because it's batel, not because it has walls, because it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And if you think it's the outer wall, then you would think it has walls, and he thinks those two questions are related. The Nafkamina in theory should be whether it overpowers some of Rishus HaRabim on the bottom three tefachim of the wall, which is exactly but the Chazon Ish sidesteps this discussion and says it must be that Chor is the Batel Legabe, because
right,
if it's the one with walls, then it would overpower Lachud, right? Then Samoch, because it was in the bottom, but it had a wall, it would still be Rishus HaYachid. So right, he splits the difference.
This is on Shabbos, see that? This is what you were looking at?
This is what I was looking at yesterday, yeah.
Okay.
Until like the last minute. It's Chav Gimel, I think.
Yeah, I think I saw someone. I saw someone reference it.
Right, Bednarz referenced it in his Makarshi, that's why I saw it.
Uh-huh.
In his Chor Rishus HaRabim, which when I googled Barat and White Torah, that was the Makarashi that came up.
Yeah, no, that's probably where I saw it also. Right. I think I didn't see his name, but
he didn't, but then I checked back which audio it was on.
Got it. Okay. I'm sorry, so the third case, right? The third case is Tzadiches Amud Beis, and I present it as Rashi understands it. Mishnah says, "Ziz shalifnei chalom nos din olav nolim menu b'shabbos." If you have a ledge that is outside of a window, so you're allowed to put onto it and take from it, meaning through the window, on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "What exactly do you mean with this ledge? Hai ziz demapik lahecha? Where is this shelf, this ledge extending into? Ilem demapik l'rishus harabim. If what's going on is when I put my hand out onto that ledge, I'm extending outward into a Rishus HaRabim. Lechash dom enough of asi lesuye. Then I should be worried that whatever I put on the ledge could fall off the ledge, and then I might carry it. Ela demapik l'Rishus HaYachid. And if it's extending into a private domain, it's my yard. Pshita. Then what's the chiddush that I could put something onto it? So Amar Abaye lo'olam demapik l'Rishus HaRabim. Abaye says no, it's going out into the Rishus HaRabim. Umay nos din olav dekatani. Kelim anish barim. What is it that you're allowed to put on it? Things that are fragile, things that would break if they fell, and therefore there's no concern that you're going to carry it. And then he brings you a brisa supporting that idea. I'm jumping to after the brisa. Actually, I can't because Elion is going to be mentioned in the brisa, so I have to read it. Zishel ifnei achalon ayetzi l'rishus harabim nosav ka'aros kosis kitonios slochios, all your fine crystal you can put out on the ledge. Umishtamish bechol hakosel arasar atachtonim, you can use the entire face of the wall until you get to the lower ten tefach of the wall, because this is going into a Rishus HaRabim. If there is a shelf below, a ledge below, mishtamesh bo, you use the ledge below, ube elyon ein mishtamesh bo ela keneged chalono. But the upper one then should not be used other than the part that actually is extending from the window. So if you have a window that looks out and has a ledge that's wider than the window, you can only use the space that is actually in front of the window. So the Gemara, yeah, I'm going with Rashi's understanding now of these ledges. So, hi ziz, this ziz, meaning the upper ziz, as they added in brackets, hechidami, what's the case? Ideles be'arba'a, if it's not four tefach wide, then makom petur. So it's a makom petur. Vafilu k'neged achalonami lo, k'neged achalonami lo mishtamish, and you shouldn't be allowed to use it at all, I added in brackets from Rashi, because you're not supposed to use a makom petur on a regular basis. So don't do that. The isbearba, and if it does have four tefach, then bechulei akosa lishtemish. You should be allowed to use the entire length of it, not just the part that's opposite your window. So Amar Abaye, tachton the isbearba, the elyon less bearba. The deal is that the lower one is four tefach, and therefore the lower one is in fact a rishus hayachid. And the elyon, the upper one, less be'arba, does not have four tefach. However, v'chalon mashlimto la'arba, the ledge is coming out of the window. And therefore, with the part that's actually in the width of the window, you now have four tefach. So, k'neged chalon mishtamish t'chorei chalonu. You can use the part that's opposite of the window, because that is, in fact, the chor, we're using the magic word, the chor of the window. It is like a hole coming out of the space inside via the window. The high gisa also, but the other parts are not going to be okay. So the simple read of this Gemara, the way that Rashi understands it, is that the shelf is chorei rishus hayachid, extending out into the domain beyond. And if you look at Rashi's source Nun Beis, he writes chorei chalon hu kolomar zavis hachalon barachava sohu. It is like the corner, right, Karen Zavis that we've talked about. I'm assuming that's what he means, as opposed to the lookout Zavis. The corner of the window, and it is a broadening of the window out into the public space, because you've added a ledge. V'lashon chori dinakad, and as far as the word chor, why do we use the word chor for it? Mishum tegave shavas shayach lameimar chori rishus harabim kirshus harabim. V'chin chori rishus hayachad kirshus hayachad dami. We have this term that we use, that the extension of the public domain is called part of the public domain, and we use the word chor, so too we use it for rishus hayachad kigon, koslas muchel rishus harabim, yish bachorim psuchel rishus harabim, lamata me'asar habi rishus harabim. He gives you the example of the hole in the wall. So that's the way that we are going to look at this and give it as the third case for which we use the term chori rishus hayachad. So it is odd that we call this chorei rishus hayachid. Rabbi Ziering and I were discussing this, and noted the Ritva here that seems to think this is not specific. The Ritva here is sourced in Gimel, and I brought it for you at length because it's going to convey a message which is important, and because the Shulchan Aruch seems to read it the way the Ritva reads it in terms of this discussion about upper and lower ledges. In sourced in Gimel, you saw the Ritva?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can go through it fairly quickly. He says, "V'lopirish lano rabbeinu zamatzar chlomar taimo mishum dahav alechor rishus hayachid tepuk le dekevin dechalenu mashlim de ledalet ha'ika makom dechashiv lahanacha shematiu lishtamish bekelim anishbar mias." He says, why are you using the term chor rishus hayachid? What Rashi said is not adequate to explain why we're calling this chor rishus hayachid. It's still just the space inside extending, you know, on this ledge. Gamlo pirish lanu mamalo mamorid lomar the tachta yishbar batzvachim. Well, also, what does it have to do with the lower ledge being four tefach? If your point in talking about the upper and lower ledges was simply to make the statement that the upper ledge extending out of the window only permits you to use the space that's opposite the window, you didn't need to introduce a lower ledge in order to have that conversation.
Right.
What is this impact that the lower ledge is having on the upper ledge? So he's saying when there is a lower ledge, then what are you talking about? So he says, no, that's actually not what we're talking about at all. And he quotes you the Rambam. The Rambam Kasev Zalashono. Zishlef Nechalin Yosef Babir Shal Rishos HaRabim. If you have the ledge in front of the window going out into the airspace, Im Hayel Malamei Asara Mudur Lishtamish Olav Shen Rishos HaRabim Tofeses Ela Ad Asara Tfachim. He says, if it's over 10 Tefach, so fine, right? Over 10 Tefach, we're good. It's not part of the Rishos HaRabim anymore. Levich Mudur Lishtamish Bechol HaKosel Ad Asara Tfachim Tzalhan, fine. Vamed Dvar Mamurim Bishay Ziz Echad Yotzi Ba'avir. Avalum Ha Yotzin Bekosel Shnei Ziz. Here's the key. If you have two ledges, one atop the other, even though both are above 10 tefach, arba al arba,
The concern that we have is that if the top one is 4x4, it is its own domain. And the lower one is its own rishus. The osr and zealzeh, they prohibit each other, not under the laws of choy rishus hayachid or things opposite windows, but under the laws of eruch hateros. I have two different rishus hayachids, and I can't now transport from one into the other. And he goes into the discussion about this in the over 10. I'm going to skip that because you've already seen it as part of Hafana. But the upshot of the Ritva is that we're understanding the Gemara wrong. And again, the Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim Shin Nun Gimel seems to read it the way that the Ritva does and the way that the Rambam does. That what we're really saying is that this is not a true Chay Rishus Hayachid case. Rather, the shelf is not part of the house, an extension of the Rishus Hayachid inside. The shelf has its own Rishus, it's its own domain. And and what you need is an heir of Chatzeros, if your house / ledge have different proprietors.
That's right, it was from Zayel Zayat, the end.
Exactly. Okay. Practical applications.
When the Ritva talks about the whole idea of the two separate Rishiyot and Rishiyot Yachid is Ola Adler Rakiya. So what was that discussion? And the way we were understanding it was you can't have one Rishut inside another Rishut. That is, there's one Rishut Yachid which goes out the Rakiya, and then there's
one Rishut
Yachid inside the first Rishut Yachid.
Right. And so after he quotes the Rambam, after Hakam Lashon Rambam Zal, he says, Lufi Lashon Zeh, based on what the Rambam has written, Nira Dahada Okimna Betachton De Is Be Arba, the point that we made that the lower one has four Tefach, is chelik rishus la'atzmo v'havalei rishus hayachid sho ala l'rakia. That's what makes it a rishus hayachid. We've already said that rishus hayachid goes all the way up, and therefore it includes the space above it. Ukshazem mishtamish be'elyon. So when this guy uses the upper ledge, nira ki'ilu mishtamish b'rishuso shel tachton. It's as though he is transporting into the lower one's yard. In the same way that with Erev Chatzeros, I can't transport from my Rishus Hayachid into your Rishus Hayachid. I can't transport from my shelf or my house into your shelf, which is effectively what I'm doing, because your shelf goes all the way up.
Right.
Yeah. That's the idea. I should have said chilek.
That's our balkanization.
Yeah. Balkanization. Oh. Yes.
Good pun.
So, practical application. Ledges extending, it's very appropriate for sukkahs also. Ledges extending from the house. So if the ledge is higher than 10 tefach, so that it extends into a makom patur. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, assuming it's 4x4, like the Avodas HaKodesh that I mentioned earlier, then it's a Rishus Hayachid. And the house is Chorei Rishus Hayachid. That's the way that I'm going to actually look at it. And the Shulchan Aruch in Source Nandalit also mentions the concern about the fragile items and so forth as he extends from there. Sif Gimel, this is Sif Beis. After that, he's concerned about that. And the Shulchan Aruch also notes the concern about multiple shelves at different heights and these for their chatzeros. It's clearly like the Ritva Rambam Rita. What if it is less than 4 tefach? So the Avodas HaKodesh is what I brought you because I didn't see it in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Daf hayotzi mikosa rishus hayachid ve'ein baruch b'arba." If it's not 4x4, kol shesamuch l'rosh hakotel ala chalon shebekotel toch shlosha. If it is within 3 tefach of the top of the wall or within 3 tefach of the window, so the lavud makes it part, an extension of it. Im eino bolet chutz l'kosel shlosha. If it doesn't extend 3 tefach out from the wall, hareze nidom mishum. It'll be an extension of the inside. But if it is within 3 tefach of the ground, I'm sorry, if it's more than 3 tefach from the wall, from the window, is the point. Or it extends more than 3 tefach from the wall, that's going to be a different story. Then we're going to call that a makom pitur. It seems to be like the idea of the Gemara of considering an extension of the window. What if the shelf is lower than 10 tefach, so that it actually extends into a rishus harabim? So Erevin Tzarichas Amud Beis seems to clearly exclude those, right? If your shelf is lower than 10 tefach, so it extends into a bona fide rishus harabim, then we're not going to be happy with you using it. Tosfos writes as extra concern in Source Nudvav that people on the road are then going to be using it. The B'nai Rishus Harabim are using it, and therefore the people inside don't use it. But the upshot is, the case that I think I mentioned during Hachanah at some point, maybe I mentioned it last week, the case of the Shabbaton in an area where there's no Erev and you want to keep your sodas cold and you want to put it on the shelf outside, extending from your window. So, assuming no shelf above shelf Erev Katzeros discussion, but just generally, so I would think this would not be an okay thing to do because of the concern that it's going to fall and that you're going to transport it, meaning the soda is not, unless you're high enough, that your soda is going to be fragile, and the bottle will smash in the event that it falls, in which case, geikas and dehet, I think you're okay. That would be my sense of it. You know, I'm assuming you're not lower than 10 tefah, because, you know, why in the world would you have a shelf that's so low? That's not the way they are.
The case where Simon brings, if you want to look at it, is whether a porch is a chor, which is habolet from Rosh Hashanah, and whether it's a porch and whether a door changes it, right? If it opens into the street, right? If it's literally,
yeah.
Right, and he distinguishes all types of cases if you're in your you know.
Right. Well, that's where I was going to go a little bit. I'm just mentioning it as a practical application, but we're going to discuss it more when we talk about mechitzah and hadresses. So I'm not going to go into it right now. But the porch question, on an audio shiur I had heard, or Simon quotes or Shechter, making the statement that a porch that is 10 tefach high is chori rishus hayachid, like the shelf. In which case, the steps will not be a problem in terms of the discussion about potentially disqualifying the fourth wall, which is, again, its own discussion on mechitzah hadresses, a mechitzah that you can walk over. We need to discuss that in Charizman. But generally speaking, what we're saying is that a porch that is 10 tefach high will be chori rishus hayachid. However, the Shulchan Aruch Harav would disagree, because he has... Yeah.
Is that assumed? There's a... What is this porch?
The porch, in other words, you have a house with a porch that extends outward that is just a normal porch. It may not even be walled in. But you come out, you go out the door, yeah. And you're on the porch. That's it. And then you can take steps and walk down to the...
That would be a cousin of addresses, even if there's a wall.
Well, that's what we need to discuss. We need to discuss what mechitzin addresses looks like. But what he's saying is, your porch is chori rishus hayachad. It's an extension of the inside. Whereas Rabbi Simon quoted the Shulchan Aruch Harav in a kuntras acharon disagreeing, saying that if there is a door between the house and the chori rishus hayachid, it's not chori rishus hayachid anymore. Chori rishus hayachid means you just go straight. Apparently a window, remember, keep in mind that windows themselves are a novelty, you know, glass windows,
right,
are a novelty of relatively recent vintage. When the Gemara is talking about your chalon, there ain't no glass in it. So but the idea is that if you have some kind of a barrier, then it's not chori rishus hayachid anymore. And the proof of it comes from the case of the iskopa, right? The threshold of the house with an inner door, and saying that that means that the threshold is considered outside. We're not considering it a chor of the inside. And there's more to discuss on this, but again, we have to see the mechitzin addresses and have a proper discussion about porches.
With the soda case, once you say that the windows are different, doesn't that just, you don't even get into the discussion at that point? Like, how does a chori chalon play in nowadays? If I close the window, it's not...
Right, so I'm not clear, but it sounded like doors are a bigger problem than windows. That was my understanding from it, but again, I haven't looked at it in depth. I really need to in order to answer that properly, but it sounded like he was saying that doors are an issue, windows are not. Is that your sense also?
Or windows might even be, but I mean, our windows might be a problem. But yeah, I mean, he has a long... You know,
I have to really...
I'm still working through that piece. He quotes a few articles and... Yeah.
I can't wait to have an Imre Baruch. This will be fun. Okay. But that's in terms of the first point. That's in terms of Chori Rishus Hayachid. Shifting gears. Is there a maximum size for a Rishus Hayachid? So, a couple of key sugyos. One is Erevin Samach Zayin Amud Beis. And that's source in Zayin. Amar Ula Amar Yochanan. This is the basis for the discussion about Hukaf Ledira. Right? Amar Ula Amar Yochanan, Karfif Yosef Beis Hasayim Shel Hukaf Ledira. If you have a Karfif that is more than this area that we call producing Tusa'ah or seeding Tusa'ah, that is not enclosed for the sake of living in. So let's just break that down for a moment. First of all, what is a karfeif? So Rashi on Erevin Yuches Amid Aleph, as well as the Bar Tanura on the Mishnah in Erevin Beis Gimel, say that it's a wood storage area. The Tiferes Yisrael says it's a chatzer. But generally speaking, it's an enclosed area that often will not have anybody living in it. It is enclosed for some reason other than living there. So that's point number one.
Why does he call it a chatzer?
Why does he call it a chatzer? Yeah, I'm not clear, but he just uses the word chatzer and just leaves it. Yeah, I thought it was funny too. In terms of a base sasayim, so base sasayim we know is the yard of the Mishkan, right? Chatzar Mishkan. So it is 100 by 50 in terms of amos, 5,000 square amos, which I did, you know, loose calculation, assuming the ama of Rav Moshe at 21.6 inches, which is low for some, but that's his standard. That would put you at 9,000 square feet or less than 2 square miles. That's your space. As opposed to another shear that we will see thrown around, which is the base kur. Remember that a kur is 30 sa'ah. So if you just go 30 times a sa'ah, not times sasayim, but times a sa'ah, so 15 times your sasayim, that's 75,000 square amos. And again, using the 21.6 inches, that will leave you with about 25 and a half square miles, I think. I feel, you know, feel free to correct me on that, because I'm actually looking at my numbers and wondering why that works. But okay. But in any case, that's just so we have some sense that this is something more than an object called sasayim. So the Gemara says, afilu kurayim, doesn't matter how big it is. Hazorik lesocho, meaning firmishus harabim, chayav. If you throw into it from the road, you are going to be liable, which is not what we expected to see. Right? Because we have learned, we know, by osmosis or something, we picked it up somewhere, that if a space is that large, and it is not enclosed for the sake of living in, it's not a rishus hayachid anymore. You're not allowed to carry in there. So the Gemara says, my time, well, what's the rationale? Mechitzahi, because it is enclosed. Elash mechuser is the urine. It's just that people aren't living there, and therefore we're not going to allow you to transport in it. But don't make the mistake of thinking it's a rishus harabim. It's not. And not only that, but chayav, it's a rishus hayachid. So, most of Rav Huna Bar Chilna says, really? Sela Shebayam, we learned that if you have a boulder in the sea, Gavoa Asar Verochav Arba, 10 tall, minimum 4 by 4 wide, so it's a Rishus HaYachid in its own right, Eima Tatan Lo Mentoch Layam Velo Meneyam Lesocho, you do not transport from it into the sea, the sea being a carmelis, we assume, although we'll talk about that, and the from the sea into it. Pachos Mikan, if it's smaller, then Metaltalim. Ad kama, how large can it be? And you can still do this transporting. How large can it be when we'll say not to do the transporting? Ad base sasayim, up to base sasayim. And the Gemara says, it seems to be saying, this line is going back to the opening point, when it said that if it is 10 high and 4 wide, you are not allowed to transport, and your limit to how long you can't transport is, as I just said, ad base sasayim. So once you get beyond that measure, it isn't a rishus hayachid. Yes, a base sasayim etatlin, I'm a karmelisi. So how do I deal with that? And the Gemara brings two different answers, but they're not important for our discussion right now. The point that we will draw from here is, number one, assuming the space is hukuf l'dira for living in, we have no max. That's number one. The Gemara has not indicated any maximum. It said even a kur, even a kurayim, no problems. Number two, we're willing to discuss the karfeif, which we assume you enclosed, and the Sela Shebayam, the boulder on the sea, in the sea, which is, we assume, a natural wall. And we're willing to ask questions back and forth without drawing any distinctions between the two. Clear? Okay. Second Gemara that we need to see is Chav Beis, and that's source Nunches. Starts with the Mishnah from Chav Beis Amid Aleph. Talking about Pasei Biros, right? They had the cisterns in the road that people would use to draw water from when they were Ola Regel, when they went to Yerushalayim. And in order to enable people to do that, they would put little corner boundaries around it. You can't wall it in because then they can't get their animals in. So you put little corner boundaries around it, and that way people are able to get in and get the water. So the Mishnah has a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, source Nunches, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mahayadarach Shasarabim Masakton, Yislakendal it studded. Rebuta says, if the road goes through it, the main drag, then you have to move the road around it. otherwise it ruins your mechitzos. Chacham say, no, you don't need to do that. So in the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak ben Yosef, Amar Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael ein chayav en oleam bishum mishus harabim. He says there's no such thing as mishus harabim in Israel. Rav Dimi reports this. Abayi says to Rav Dimi, I'm skipping within the source. My time, what's the rationale? If you're telling me it's because Israel is surrounded by geographic four nations, and what he's talking about here with the Sulma Ditzur seems to be some kind of rock formation / crevice in the north in Israel. Tzur, Tyre, Lebanon, north. And Machtana de Gader is some kind of fence onto the hills that we're going to assume is somewhere on the hills. The Rishonim say that it's some kind of a gamma-shaped thing, that you're supposed to have two walls that are making a corner. That's the idea. And that's what turns Eretz Yisrael into a not Rishos Harabim. If you want to see it...
Do people think it's an actual gather, besides what the Kaftar HaFerach sounds like, it's actually a fence that they...
I haven't seen anyone other than him who does it. The Kaftar HaFerach in Perek Yud tries to explain this somewhat. You could take a look there. You have it on the Bar Ilan. I did not. I should have put it on the sheet, but I didn't.
Because it sounds like you think it's an actual security fence.
So he says, if that's your rationale, Israel is not going to be a Rishos HaRabim because, hey, we got walls. Then why stop there? Bavel Nami, Makif La Prasme Hachgisa, Vidiglas Mehagisa. Right? Bavel has rivers. You have the Euphrates, you have the Tigris, we're good. Or whatever river you want to choose. I mean, Pras Euphrates, we generally associate, Diglas Chidekel, whatever you're referring to. I think it's all about the Tigris for Diglas. So he says, Bikule Amanami, Makif Ukianos. And not only that, why stop there? You've got oceans surrounding the continents. Dilma Malos Umordos Kamrit. Maybe what you were saying is actually simply that there are steep slopes. And that's what we're saying. So Amar Le Karkafna. Karkafna, do not confuse that with Karfaith. Karkafna is a skull, right? Karkafta the Lomanach Tfilin and so on. So Karkafna means the one with the skull, which Rashi says is a nice honorific title. The Chazisi L'Reishach Be'amude Ki Amar Rav Yochanan L'Hashmaisa. Either your head or your master's head was there when Rav Yochanan said this. He could be saying to him, it's you, Abai, or it's your master, Rava. Who was present when Rabbi Yochanan reported this. So, in other words, yeah, that's what he meant. He didn't mean that it's the space around it. And Itmar Nami, we learned as well, Ravin came, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Avo quoted Rabbi Yochanan, that it is indeed these inclines. Why? Lefisha Einan Kedigle Midbar. Because once you have these inclines, it is not like what went on in the Midbar, a phrase we're going to come back to shortly, I hope. So what the upshot is that we see here is, number one, there is a concept of per Rabbi Yehuda, mass travel canceling mechitzos, right, in the Mishnah. And the Rabbanan seem to disagree. And number two, the Gemara takes it as a given that very large spaces are not considered Rishus Hayachid regardless of their natural boundaries. Because otherwise, why are you so shocked about Bavel and the whole world? Go for it. One other source to see, just tangentially, but it will get mentioned, is the Gemara in Erevin Pezayinu at Beis. I brought it in Source and Test. And they're talking about filling up water from the Kinneret, from the shelf outside of your window, or maybe your boat. In the discussion there, they say the Kinneret is unique and open to this sort of thing. Open, not literally, but open legally. Because it's not open. Because it has these boundaries around it as cities, karfefos, and the incline coming out of the water. And therefore, this yam, this Kinneret, is actually a Rishus Hayachid. So you know that the Kinneret can be a Rishus Hayachid. So when you talk about, is there a maximum size? The Kinneret today, according to Wikipedia, is 13 miles by 8 miles. Keeping in mind that the water level may have been higher at that point. So remember our whole nightmare discussion about Yam HaMelach in the beginning of our discussion about Shemitah and the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and over time, did it lower, did it rise, did it change various ways over time? Recognize that when your water level rises, you flood more ground, and therefore you have a larger area, so it could be larger than 13 by 8 for all I know. Okay, so is there a maximum space or not? The evidence of our sources is contradictory. Erevin Samach Zayin Amud Beis sounded like as long as it's Hukaf Ladira, there's no max. Erev and Chav Beis Amud Beis seems to take it as a given that there is a maximum, because otherwise why was it shocked regarding Eretz Yisrael / Babel? Granted, maybe you could say, well, that's not Hukaf Ladira. People lived there, but it wasn't Hukaf, especially if we're saying it's natural rock formations. At the time, maybe it wasn't, but on the other hand, how in the world can you say Eretz Yisrael was not Hukaf Ladira? Wasn't that the point of everything? So, Tzarachim. So, a couple of different approaches. One from Tosfos, one from the Ritva. We may have to modify them a little bit as we go. But we begin with Tosfos' approach. And Tosfos' approach is to say, natural mechitzos are not true mechitzos, and therefore, asu rabim mevali mechitzta source samach. He said, after the business about Yoshua oyver Tisrael, which is also interesting, but the part that's directly relevant for us, in source samach, he says, valiba de Rabbi Yehuda, within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that people are mevatel mechitzos, that's within this. That's this discussion. Aval rabbanan, afilu bechutz laaretz pater delo asu rabim mevatli mechitza. Actually, I shouldn't even have, I don't know why I brought that first. Okay. V'tema dila rabbanan kol eretz yisrael tayasa rishus hayachid al yedei zulma detzur umachtena degad. There he says, why don't we accept this idea that the natural boundaries, in fact, will convert eretz yisrael into rishus hayachid according to the rabbanan? Right? There's no issue of asu rabim mevatli mechitza. So why don't we accept it? Bavel. Why don't we accept Bavel as well? According to Rabbi Yochanan in Samach Zayin Amud Beis, who says it can be kur, it can be kurayim, as long as it's hukaf ledira, you're fine, right? Who then afilu elav kurim demash shir yeah? What should the shir be? V'yesh lomar the mechitza she'ena asuya v'day adam lo chashiva mechitza kulei hay. The answer could be that if it's a natural mechitza, it's not such a mechitza, and even the rabbanim will agree to asu rabim that the rabbim violate this mechitza. So when you read this, you have to ask yourself, did you get to see this in Hachana?
No.
So when you see this, you have to ask yourself a question. What rabim does he mean? Does he mean rabim living within the space? Does he mean people hiking across the mountains? What does he mean when he says, asu rabim umavali mechitza? So we're going to come back to that momentarily. But first of all, the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer explains that this is connected to the Diglei Midbar, like that Gemara, you know, invoked the Diglei Midbar. If you take a look at Source Samach Aleph, the Chasam Sofer writes in Aleph Beit, that's part of a long tshuva, not so long, but part of a nice-sized tshuva, discussing his allowance of people to use a river as one of the walls for an Erev, over the vociferous objections of the person writing to him. He says, Ein l'chabo ela chidusho, the rabbim mevatli mechitza bidei shamayim, haynu echadin echad tashmishta. He says the whole idea that rabbim can knock out a mechitza is itself a novelty, and only will apply in the case where it is Nechat HaShmishteh, where people can actually walk through easily. Why? Because my source for it is Diglei Midbar, calling the Midbar Rishus HaRabim. Shahaya HaAnan, Mashveh HaDrachim, V'lo Haya Shem Shum Te'la Mislakeit. The idea that the cloud evens everything out, not only does it refresh your clothing, but actually, yeah, there were no hills or anything. You could just go straight. So there is no Te'la Mislakeit there. And there's no barrier there. So that's the case in which we will say the Rabim knock out the Mechitza. But if there is indeed an incline, Eino Dome Le Digle Midbar, it will not resemble the Digle Midbar. Go ahead, go to him and just make sure he's okay for 20 minutes. Okay. The Eino Dome Le Digle Midbar, Lo Asu Rabim, Vali Mechitza, Filu Mechitza Bideshamayim, then the Rabim will not cancel the Mechitza. Ukupirish Rashi, Dira Maschel She'eno Digle Midbar, like Rashi says, when he writes there, it's not like the dig on the Gemara that said it's not like Digle Midbar. Sheres Chalaka Haisak is in the Midbar. It was smooth land. Vanan Mashva Osam, and the cloud leveled things out. Akan L'Shem. Nimta Lefize Mechitza Asuya Bidei Adam. So if it's a human-made Mechitza, Bein Denichat Hashmishte Bein Delo Nicha, whether it is easy to cross or not doesn't matter. Lo Olam Lo Asu Rabim Vali Mechitza. The Rabim will never be Mevatel because that's not like the Midbar. And if it is a natural mechitza, then we distinguish and say, if it's nichat hashmishteh, then yes, the rabbim will do it, like the digle midbar. If it's easy for them to cross, then it indeed is gone, as opposed to if it's lo nicha, if it's not so easy to cross. That's the Chasam Sofer statement. Now, there are three different rewrites of Tosfos that I read. And we're not going to go through them all in depth. It's already 11:13. But the Knesset Yechezkel Simen Gimel says that Tosvos wrote specifically that a natural mechitza is not a mechitza kulei hai. And what that means is that a natural mechitza is batel if it surrounds a space more than sasayim that is not hukah ledira. Tosvos was not saying what everybody thinks he's saying. Everybody reads Tosvos to say that a natural mechitza is subject to asurabim umavali mechitza. He says, no, that's actually not what Tosvos believes. Tosfos simply believed that natural mechitza is subject to bittul because it's enclosing too large a space. That's the Knesset Yecheskel Gimel. Everyone quotes it as base, but it's Gimel in the edition
so
I found.
What is the end of Tosfos?
Yeah, you have to look at this Knesset Yecheskel. That's his statement. The Chazon Ish in Moed Huzayin Aleph has another rewrite of Tosfos, and I'll say it outside. His question is, Asu Rabba Mumavali Mechitzta is a concept of walking over a wall, or breaking a wall. But being within a wall doesn't eliminate it. The fact that it includes Rabbim in it doesn't change anything. And he says, I'll prove it to you. The Gemara talks about Yerushalayim having 600,000 people, and yet, closed doors would make it a Rishus Hayachid. So obviously, it's not about your population inside, it's about the traffic. Mm-hmm. So his answer is that maybe Tosfos, this is very hard, this is I think what I was looking at when I said what I said about the Chazon Ish, did he really say that or something along those lines. He says what Tosfos is saying is like the Ritva that we're going to see, that you need to see the walls. If the space is larger than what people would normally enclose, and that's what he has in his head as people seeing the walls, and it has a large population, then it will be disqualified as a Rishus Hayachid.
But the large population doesn't have anything to do with the sense of being closed in.
Correct. Two separate factors. It's two-factor authentication. Number one, the space has to be large, and number two, it has to have a large population, and then it will be disqualified as a Rishus Hayachid. That's the way that he reads this Tosfos. I am still perplexed. Rav Yitzchak Brand wrote an article called Geder Saviv LeMedina, which I reference here for you, and I just realized it was going to take the shiur beyond any time frame that we could responsibly have. But he offers an interesting rewrite of two concepts within Asura Mevali Mechitza, one being traffic and the other being population size inside of it. But again, I didn't go there. He's discussing the question of let's build a security fence and then all of Israel is a Rishus Hayachid, and he's not a fan of the idea. But the bottom line on Tosfos' view, without Knesset Yecheskel, without Chazon Ish, without Rav Yitzchak Brand, is that there is a maximum population, so it appears, under the principle of Asur Rabba Mevali Mechitza, and that there is not a maximum space. The simple read of Tosfos is that space is not a consideration. It's only a question of maximum population size. The Ritva, and along the way, natural boundaries. It's where it's a natural boundary. Right, Tosfos made that distinction. I'm not imagining that because I didn't write it into my notes. Natural mechitzas, natural mechitzas. Yeah, okay. Fine. The other approach is the Ritva's approach. And the Ritva seeks to address this in a different way. As we've already noted, it's Sor Samach Dalet. The Hamak play Pras Mechad Gisa Vediglas Mechad Gisa. Hirish Kmin Gam, right? That's this gamma-shaped on the Euphrates, Diglas one, but it's the same thing in the Israel one. And the whole world also has oceans around it, and he gives you an explanation of how that would work, fine. And that's not possible. Fine. And he says, in his second paragraph, so exactly how far apart would we accept and still say this is a, you know, say it's a Rishus Hayachid? What's your barrier? What's your limit, I should say? We say that it can be more than Sasayim and still be okay. So what's your shear of more than Sasayim? So he quotes Rabbeinu Harav, and everybody assumes this is Ramban. who says, Kol Sharoa Atzmo Tocha Machitzos, you have to see yourself as being within the Machitzos. Even though we discussed a week or two ago the case in Sukkah, in which you have a Sukkah and you make an Amud inside it that is more than 10 Tefach or whatever, that reduces the height before you reach your ceiling, right? And we said that as far as Sukkah, you want the Machitzos to be close to your Amud, but as far as Erev, we said you don't need to. When I do my Chorei Rishus Hayakin thing, right, or not Rishus in that case, but the point is that we said there that you don't need Mechitzos Hanikaros in Rishus Hayakin, visible, recognizable walls near your space. Nonetheless, we do require that you see yourself as being within Mechitzos. Where is this Ramban? Source Samachay on the discussion of Ir Shal Yachid. He's Orish Rabin. He says, Umiyul Rabbi Yehuda de Savar Shtei Mechitzos de Oraisa. He says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that all you need biblically are two walls to make a Rishus HaYachid, so Ein Lecha Rishus HaRabin B'Sol Chayir. That means that no city will ever have a Rishus HaRabin. V'afilu Rachav Kama, no matter how big it is. El Asratya Umidbar Kiyotze Ben Shein Lecha Mechitza Klal. The only ones that will be Asratya, maybe if it's outside the city, that's its own discussion, or a Midbar where it has no walls. Granted that those still have, go far enough and you will find mountains, you will find valleys. Nonetheless, if that can't be visible to the people standing inside, they can't recognize it. Or it doesn't keep them from traveling. That's not a machitza. And he then quotes you, Chav Beis, with Bavel, Eretz Yisrael, and so on. So what the Ritva seems to be saying, it seems to come from the Ramban, is that you have to have recognizable walls, whether that means visible, or whether that means that they reduce your space for functioning somehow. That's what a mechitza is. And that's why the Gemara wouldn't accept those mechitzos in the case of Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, Kol HaOlam. The Bir Halacha adds that the Ritva will then also be able to resolve Samach Zayin. He quotes this as being in the Ritva, but it wasn't in the Ritva that I saw, so that's why he added the word Ritva in brackets with a question mark. But he says, "Umisayim de lefiza had amrin and daf Samach Zayin va'afilu kur o kurayim." When we say that as long as you're hukaf ledira, you can even be kur or kurayim. Daf kavachgon shir zeh. That means following still the standard that it should be nireis la'om din ba'emza, visible to the people who are in the middle. He says. And not that it is too big. So how big would this be? When you say it has to be visible, what does that mean? Oh, so first of all, I should note, the Rashba is along these lines. The Rashba is on Erev in Chav Beis Amud Beis. When the Gemara asks a question about Bavel in Israel, he says it sounds like there should be a shear, because the Gemara is assuming that you can't go to Bavel in Israel, but I don't know what the shear would be, but Davar Tzarech Talmud is his ending. The Sefer HaEshkol HaChos Erev in Samachay Amud Beis, number Gimel, also has this idea. He says, we follow the Rabbanan that we don't say Asur Abim Mavatli Mechitzta, but if these are natural Mechitzos and not visible, then even the Chum agree. Mosad Rav Kook's Ritva on this Sugya, footnote Taf Nun Gimel, or 453 actually, says that it's actually the Ra'ah, not the Ramban, which will help us in a bit. But if we accept this view, what exactly is the limit? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos Yudalid Aleph, right? We've seen it a few times. Many nil, right? In source Samach Zayin was the source. He says even many nil in this parish of Mishnayos in source Samaches. He says elef mil. Even if it's 1,000 mil, doesn't make a difference. The Tur is more conservative in source Ayin. He says maya milin. Okay, 100 mil. Fine.
It's only if it's hukaf ledira.
Yes, all hukaf ledira is all of these are hukaf ledira assumptions. The Marsham from Bechoros Perek Tes Mishnah Beis regarding Maisa Behema says that a shepherd guards up to 16 mil, and Rav Moshe adopts this view. And Rav Moshe notes in source Ayin Aleph that the Ramban used the word emsa, the omed beemsa. So therefore, he says, as I bolded here, that it has to be 16 mil for the person in the middle, meaning 32 mil per side. He doesn't say what he does about the Zavios, and, you know, how he'll make his corners, you know, work. But 16 mil for the person inside, that's your radius, so it's 32 mil per side. And he says maybe that exists within within Manhattan. So I had the notes that someone had from Rabbi Simon's shir, in which he said that Manhattan is 22.7 square miles, which I did not double check. The Baruch Moshe says maybe that will be inside.
Yeah, I mean, across, it's only about two and a half.
Yeah, it's very narrow. Going across, it's longer, obviously. But the, and it's only 2.3 at its widest. You know, other places it's narrower than that. The but Rav Moshe says that that's your dimension, is the 32 mil sided square. He does also note the question of, well, your buildings are blocking your view. You can't actually see them, but he says that's not going to be mevatelit. I'm good with that idea. That's the idea of what your limit would be then, your max for your Rishus HaYachid. The Bir Halacha modifies this shita, because he says if you look at the Ramban on Nuntes Amud Aleph, Ramban's discussion is about natural boundaries, not artificial ones. And see the Ramban on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph regarding Pras. And note that the Ramban on Samach Zayin Amud Beis doesn't say anything when it comes to artificial boundaries and Hukaf Ladira. So he argues that Ramban only says this regarding natural boundaries, not regarding a Karfeif. Now, I wasn't so sure on that, but in any case, the Mosad Rav Kook comes in handy. Right? The Mosad Rav Kook says, actually, it's the Ra'ah. So therefore, he doesn't make this point. But I think you could note that. Doesn't connect it to this thing. He just knows that when he says Rabbeinu Arav, he connects it to a Gemara in Sukkah where he says Rabbeinu Arav, and he says that's the Ra'ah. We don't have the Ra'ah on Erevin, but he believes that this is actually the Ra'ah. So, but what the Bir Halacha proposes, and I'm saying it outside just in the interest of time, is that the Ritva is actually splitting artificial and natural, and saying if it's an artificial boundary, then any size space is good. The natural one is the one that has the cap of visible walls, like Ramban. That's his take, and that's why the Gemara said on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, Bavel Eretz Yisrael, those are natural boundaries. They can't be infinitely wide. That's the idea. Rav Moshe did not like this read. Rav Moshe, in that same tshuva, Aleph Kuf Lamed Tes Vav, does not like this read. He says the Rashba talked about there being a shear for the size of a Rishus HaYachid and didn't distinguish between which type of wall he was talking about. And the Ritva seems also to say that the Ramban is like that as well. The Ritva quotes that. Regardless of what the Be'er Halacha says, the Rav Moshe did not like that reread. Rabbi Yitzchak Brand, also in Geder Saviv LaMedina, did not like it at all. He says the Gemara should have made such a distinction if there was such a distinction. Ramban really did not make any such kind of an explicit distinction either. The distinction only makes sense for Tosos, because Tosos is discussing Asu Rav and Mavali Mechitzta, but I don't accept this within the.
The Chazanish is combining of the Ritva and Tosos. Bringing it in this direction also.
Yes, that would be true. So to summarize what you have for the Ritva, the simple read of the Ritva is there's a maximum space visibility of walls, which may be 32 mil per side, 16 mil from where the middle person is. As modified by the Bir Halacha, there's a max space for natural walls, but if you're going to enclose the city yourself, it could be as large as you want it to be. What does the Shulchan Aruch believe? So I'm not sure. We have two sources in the Shulchan Aruch that can be read either way. One is, as I brought you here, source Ayin Gimel, Shin Samach Gimel Chav Tes. He talks about a mavoi that terminates on one end in the yam. And he seems to count that as a boundary. So natural mechitzos can count without any concern for the population within, some wish to argue. The Magen Avraham says, no, it must be talking about where boats can't pass, and therefore they're not mevatel. It's an area where boats can't go through, and therefore no rabbim are going to come and be mevatel the wall. No one has entertained the idea that the mavoi contains whatever we call rabbim. The question is passage. So therefore it's like a wall. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that's a very funny answer. He does not accept that approach. But you could answer as the Sharet Zion does on there. Shin Samach Gimel Tzadi Dalet. The Sharet Zion says, that's okay, the Shulchan Aruch is passing like the Ritva, which is to say, you see yourself within walls. And Tosos will be fine if I take the approach of the Knesset Yechezkel or the Chazon Ish. Either way, Tosos will be fine. But you could also answer as the Aruch HaShulchan does. The Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel Memchez simply says, boats are not like public transit, Hiluch Rabin. Or in the Chasam Sofer's Tshuva, Aleph Pei Tes, he quotes the Rash Ahalion, and I don't know what to do with this any more than I know how to pronounce his name. But he says, we won't say Asu Rabin Mavali Mechitzda if it's not Nicha Tashmishte, if it's not easy to cross. And that goes back to previous discussions also. But that's one piece in the Shulchan Aruch that you could read either way, this use of the Yam to close off the Mavoi. And then the other one is the Mavoi has a steep slope in Sif Lamed Vav there, and using that as a machitza. So natural machitzos can count without concern for the population within. So the Magen Avraham says, no, not necessarily. It must be there are no Rabim here. Or maybe Rabim is only 600,000, which you don't have in your Mavoi. To which the Knesset Yecheskel says, no, the Shulchan Aruch's language there is quoting the Rambam verbatim. And as we already know from our Shu'a Man Rishus HaRabim, the Rambam doesn't endorse the 600,000 number for Rabim. So, therefore, I don't know what Rabim actually is. There's much more to say on this when we have a discussion about Asu Rabim and Mabali Mechitzta. But to sum up what we've hopefully accomplished here, number one, to go back to our point regarding Chori Rishus HaYachid, so we saw the case of Chori Rishus HaYachid inside the house, which you hollowed out a little bit of, and the rest of the house is near the Chor. We saw the case of the holes in the wall or on the wall, if you're taking Chazanish's approach. And then the interesting case of the shop that extends into a public domain and being considered an extension from that which is inside, and we'll view that as a Chor of sorts from the inside, whether we mean the word Chor literally or not. And the practical application was to the ledge, and we said if the ledge is higher than 10 tefach, then we're good with you using it as long as you will use it only with fragile items, items that won't survive the fall. If it is less than 4 by 4 tefach wide, then assuming it is within 3 tefach of the window or the top of the wall and doesn't extend past 3 tefach, then it'll be Chori Rishus HaYachid. If it goes past that, then it's a Makom Patur. If it is lower than 10 tefach from the ground, so that extends into an actual Rishus HaRabim, then we don't want you using it. It is also used by the people who are outside. In terms of maximum size, we have these two Gemaras that seem to think, number one, that there is a maximum, although when it came to Hukaf Ladira, we didn't state what a maximum was. We seem to think it's larger than the Kinneret, at least even on the natural boundary one. So is there a maximum space or not? Tosfos, on the simple read of Tosfos, seems to say that natural mechitzos are not true mechitzos, and therefore Rabim, even Rabim living inside, can be mevatel them. That's at least one read of Tosfos, based on the Digle Midbar. If it's Nichat Hashmishte, at any rate, then they can be mevatel. And you have the Ritva, who says you have to see yourself as being within walls. That's the Ritva's criterion for it. You have to see yourself as being within walls based on Ramban slash Ra'a. And that may have a cap of a square that is 32 mil per side. And the Be'er Halacha rewrites him to say that what he's actually saying is not what it sounds like, that it's seeing yourself being within walls, but that if these are natural walls, then you have to see yourself as being within walls. If they're artificial, then you do not. I hope that was somewhat clear. I realize that I rushed in too much to try to finish it before the end of the month, but hopefully with the recording in the Maromakomos, that will be somewhat clear. Shkoach.